Step out of the shadows and into your sunshine. For generations, we have been limited by what society, colleagues, family members, spouses, and friends think that we should be or become. Slowly, we are molded into their best version of us. One day, we look in the mirror and wonder how we became so far removed from our inner light. These are the stories of powerful women and men who broke their chains and embraced their true purpose. They authentically share their most vulnerable moments and how they found the strength to step into their sunshine. Join us as we share our journeys toward breaking the chain of societal expectations for women and men around the globe.
Come and join La Forêt de Lumière Holistic Experience in Mazet-Saint-Bois, France, taking place May the 13th through the 16th of May 2025. This event includes immersive holistic workshops ran by experts in their field. Are you tired of feeling fatigue, lacking energy, or desire to go after your dreams? This event is for you. Regain your spiritual, emotional, physical, mental power by being there. And every moment of the event is an opportunity, is an invitation to thrive and regain your power and your health. Visit www.rachelcoudronevents.com for more information.
Everyone, welcome back to Step Into Your Sunshine, hosted by yours truly, Rachel Coudron, the owner of Rachel Coudron Events. My purpose in life is to help others heal, grow, and transform. And I hope to embody all of that at my upcoming event, La Forêt de Lumière Holistic Experience, May the 13th through the 16th of 2025. Today, I'm here to dive deeper into my story of grief and to share that same story that so many of us have experienced but kept inside. Over the past month, things have evolved. They've changed. There's been tears. There's been longing. There's been the feeling of loss, the feeling of feeling upside down and inside out and loss of direction. About a month ago is when I recorded the first several episodes of this podcast about grief. And then I spent time interviewing those that are near and dear to me, that are practitioners for my upcoming events. And it really infused in me the desire to carry on with my purpose in life. And it reminded me of who I am at my core. And it's given me a lot of power and a lot of perspective and reminds me of passion and good feelings and getting more in touch with myself again. And it has helped so much on my path and my journey through grief. And I want to share that with all of you. Because no matter how good I'm feeling one day, or how much passion I'm feeling, or how purposeful I feel, or how connected I feel with other people, there's still on the back of my mind this lingering sadness, this lingering longing for my mom. And it's a place that no one else can replace. It's a place that no one else can go, a place where no one else can reach. And today I'm sharing with you the unexpected changes that I've experienced while going through a tremendous loss. Because so many people expect sadness, they expect loneliness, they expect sudden outburst of tears, they expect for you to feel lost for a short time, that is. But what has really surprised me are these three feelings. The feeling of being overstimulated, the desire to avoid close relationships, and my loss of decision making. In this episode, I'm going to dive in to each of those. Because I know that someone out there is experiencing it the same way I am, or they're experiencing aspects of it. And they wonder, am I the only one that feels this way? And I want to tell you that you're not. There's so many of us that feel the same. When I talk about being overstimulated, it's not just, oh, I had a stressful day. My child comes home and she has lots of energy and she's bouncing off the walls and I become overstimulated. That would be a normal version of overstimulation. But for me, I feel physically overstimulated. Just getting up in the day, getting up in the morning and going through my routine with work and making lunch and picking up my daughter and going and interacting with my husband and just doing the normal things feels overstimulating physically. It's like, oh man, I'm so exhausted. I spent the whole day sitting up. I walked so many steps. I put in so much work. I did a physical activity. Or maybe I just stood up the whole day. Or maybe I just sat in a chair. And it feels physically exhausting because it's overstimulating. It's physically just so much because there's a deep part of your brain that just wants to lay in bed all day and do nothing and feel nothing and use your body for nothing. You feel overstimulated. I wasn't expecting that. Not physically. The next thing is mentally. You feel overstimulated. Now, this might be more expecting from others that you feel mentally overstimulated. For me, it's also about memories and thoughts. So much of the day I spend on my own. I get on calls with other people. I have interviews. I'm in networking groups. I talk to people, but I'm physically alone. And in those alone moments, memories come back to me. And I experience my memories in a 3D form. So when I think about memories with my mom or memories in the hospital, I remember all the objects that were in the room. I remember the smell. I remember how it felt. I remember how the cloths and the bed sheets and the blankets felt. I remember my mom's texture of her hand. And I just remember it all. And those memories, sometimes they're triggered by a song or a smell or a thought or a person, and sometimes they just come to me unexpectedly. And it's day in and day out. They come in my conscious hours and they come in my unconscious hours when I'm sleeping. And that feels so overstimulating sometimes. And then when my husband and my daughter come home, or I talk to my family and they want me to recite the, you know, how are things going? What is my day like? The memories of just recalling my day are sometimes overstimulating because I am overwhelmed and overdosed with memories of my mom. And so I feel mentally overstimulated. And so sometimes when you're with somebody that has experienced a significant loss, perhaps they're just feeling overstimulated, both physically, mentally, and then we come to emotionally. Now, this is very much understood that people are going to emotionally feel overstimulated when they've had a significant death in their family. And sometimes this can also be related to emotions with other people. Like they spend so much time. I spend so much time trying to regulate my emotions so that I can function in the everyday world, that sometimes when other people are having big emotions, it's hard for me to stay restrained. It's hard for me to maintain mine. because it their emotions feel so overstimulating to me. And I encourage, if this is you, then take a few days to just over to rethink their emotions and your experiences, because I recognize that sometimes my emotional overstimulation is causing me to read further into a situation that than actually exist. And I need to step back and I need to rethink and I need to just give myself some time to reflect on that experience. Was that how I truly felt, or was my emotion speaking for me? Was I experiencing in real time an emotional overstimulation? And then I just reacted because I just couldn't keep myself restrained or balanced any longer because I broke at the seams because my whole day I've been trying to keep it together. If that's you, I understand. And also being spiritually overstimulated. For some people, that looks like religion, that they're a follower of Christ or they're a follower of a different religion. And maybe they're going through their process of asking why. Why did this happen? Why did she have to endure that? Why did this happen to me? Why have I lost my mother at the age of 33? And it's very overstimulating spiritually as well, because you're asking and you're wanting and you're needing all of these answers. Or you feel like you do. Why? Why is this my life? And I understand. I very deeply know what that's like. The second thing I mentioned was the desire to avoid close relationships. Now, this may seem counterintuitive to some, and that's why I want to go deep into it and explain. Because so often you hear, to lean on your friends, to lean on your loved ones, to lean on your spouses. But what about if you can't? What about if you don't know how? What if you've always been the strong, emotionally stable person in that relationship, and now you're not? It's hard. And sometimes you find yourself in a position that you push them away because you feel like to be in that relationship or to interact with that person, you have to be that balanced, emotionally regulated person. And I'm here to tell you that you don't. And it's hard to accept that because that's the role that you've always known. And I encourage you to reflect on that role. While it has served you in its past and it has had its purpose, is it serving you now? We need love and connection in our lives, every single one of us. So sometimes, it's us that's in our own way. While we're actively grieving, it's hard for us sometimes to experience perspective and to see how our own personality and our own emotions is creating a blockage between yourself and other people. For me, for those of you that are listening, that may be have someone in your life that's grieving. You're not the one that's actively grieving. I want to tell you why we push people away. Sometimes it's that you remind us of the person that passed. Maybe you have the same characteristics. Maybe you talk in the same way. Maybe it's your vernacular or your syntax. Maybe you have the same color of hair or the same color of eyes or the same expression. It can be anything. And it reminds us of that person. And it reminds us of that softness and of that vulnerability. That's hard because so many of us in society has wired us to avoid vulnerability, to avoid that softness, to avoid those emotions. And when you remind us of our vulnerability and of our emotions, we want to push you away. It could also be, which sounds very counterintuitive, that you understand us. You're a safe space for us to be vulnerable, to have feelings, and that scares us. Because, as I mentioned before, if we're always the emotionally regulated, strong person in our relationship, that feeling of letting go, that feeling of being vulnerable, that feeling of being held, that feeling of needing somebody else, feels like a lot. Feels like at sometimes an insurmountable challenge, because that means that you have to let go of all of those gates that are keeping you from that person. You have to go internal and reflect on your viewpoint and your values and your personality and how things have shaped said relationship. And sometimes we don't want to do that because we're already up in arms and up to our eyeballs and emotions, and it's hard for us. Sometimes we just need space, and it's not that we love you less. It's not that we care about you less. It's not that we don't need you. It's just we don't know how. And we don't know how to process all of the emotions that are going on inside of our brain and in our heart and in our body simultaneously, while also taking on new roles in a relationship that we don't really know how to navigate because all of this is new. And lastly, it could be about we push you away because love is what makes us vulnerable. Love opens our heart to be hurt, to be disappointed, to experience grief. And perhaps if we love less people, or perhaps if we didn't have such dynamic relationships with them, it wouldn't hurt so bad if we lost you. And that's counterintuitive, but I'm letting you into my psyche and how we think when we're grieving. It doesn't always make sense. It's not always right, but it is how we feel in that moment. And it could be how your loved ones are feeling now. And sometimes we just need to know that you're there, but we need some space. And we know that when we're ready, you'll still be there. You're still a safe space for us. We just need to figure out how we're feeling. We need to figure out our direction. We need to sort out our emotions. And that may take time. And it may not always make sense. But we need you. The last one that has really surprised me is loss of decision making. You see, in every version of my personality before the loss of my mom, decision making was easy for me. It made sense. I felt intuitively guided. I could feel when I was in alignment. I knew what I wanted. I had a vision. I had a goal. There was a direction I was going in. And maybe that's the same for your loved ones. They were decisive. They knew exactly what they wanted, when they wanted it, and how they wanted it. And all of a sudden, you're met with a person that feels lost, that feels unable to make a decision. And you from the outside don't know how to interpret this. Because they've always been that decisive person. And from the inside, I've always been that decisive person. And yet, over the last 3 months, since my mom's passing, I felt my decision-making capacity lesson. My feelings on what was right and what was wrong, what was in alignment, lessening. I felt more like rather than a big fish in a small pond ready to make that decision that would take me to the next ocean. I feel like in an ocean, the size of like a smallish bacteria that exists. And I feel like it's so overwhelming to be in that ocean with all those big fish and all those medium-sized fish and even all the small fish, because at least they're a fish and I'm still a bacteria. I'm still trying to figure out how to move a millimeter or to grow slightly. And you guys are already swimming. And it has left me in a discombobulated state of a breakage in my normal personality, and makes me rethink who I am. Who do I want to be? What do I want to be known for? What do I stand for? How do I make decisions? How do I want to interact with people? How do I not want to interact with people? Where do I want to go? Who do I want to be? What kind of mother am I? What kind of mother do I want to be? What kind of legacy do I want to leave? And I've come up blank more times than not in all of those questions. Because the thing is when you've experienced significant loss, it digs up your roots, it shakes your foundation, it makes you wonder, are you on the right path? It makes you rethink, is this the life for me? It makes you rethink who you are as a person. And it feels like the earth is rumbling and it feels like your life is shattering. And I understand. And for those that are surrounded with people like me that right now feel that their life is shattering, their life is shaking, their life is shattered, then be patient with us as we try to navigate this new normal of a life that we've never lived before, of experiences we've never had, of feelings that are new to us, of an ache that never seems to lessen. Because we'll find our way again, and it might not be anything that resembles what our life was like before. We may find new paths. We may carve new journeys. And we may uproot our life completely because that was the one push we needed to go to the next step because we realize that the life that we're living is no longer serving us. The decisions that we're making are no longer right for us. The people that we're surrounded with no longer nurture us. And we're trying to find ourselves again. And sometimes for some of us, it's finding ourselves for the very first time. It's establishing new boundaries that we've never had. It's going after dreams that we've never chased. It's about building legacies that we've never dreamed of having. It's about being intentional with our time and realizing that life is precious and that our time on earth is precious. And the legacy and the memories and the impact we have on people is powerful. And it's truly the only thing that matters. And we're trying to find ourselves in the middle of that. When we know that we're on the precipice of change, we know that we're on the precipice of a life-altering decision. We need you there. We need you to let us expand, to let us grow, to let us become something new. Because for us, that version of us that we were, that millisecond before that person was lost to the world, no longer exists. Because through our grief, we've become a new person. We have new ideals. We have new goals. We have new perspective. And we've grown and we've evolved. Come with us and experience the journey, experience the highs and lows, because everybody's journey through grief is different. This is mine, and perhaps it registers with you. Perhaps you understand it so deeply. Perhaps for the first time that the feelings that you've had inside of you are actively expressed by somebody else. Perhaps for the first time you feel understood because everybody else in your life said, "How can you just lose a part of you when somebody passes?" Or maybe they told you that you're supposed to lean on them when you feel like you don't know how. Or maybe they've told you it's not normal to be overstimulated in a variety of ways, months and months, years and years after someone's death. And I'm here to tell you that it is. That I experience it and I know it intimately. Another thing that has come to me that has been unexpected is because I'm a mother, is watching my child grieve. And from my experience, children grieve in such a different way than adults. Yesterday, I could tell that something was off with my daughter in the evening after football practice. And I asked her, and she says, "I miss Nana. I miss Nana." I said, "So do I. So do I." And we'll talk more about it because I'm of the belief that we should keep people's memory alive, that even when it's painful, that we should dive into the memories and we should share them with our children. And we should let them know that it's okay to dive into the memories. It's okay to have feelings of sadness. And it's okay to not be okay all the time. Because I'm building a legacy, an emotional legacy for my daughter, that in some time as she gets older, she's going to experience grief again, significant loss. And at one moment, I'm not going to be here any longer. And I want her to know that she has the freedom to emotionally express herself and that it's a safe space. And that she doesn't have to be scared of her emotions. She can let them out and we can honor them and we can talk about them and we can work through them so that your grief doesn't define you, but is a starting place to redefine your life, to redefine what's important to you, and to live an intentional life. Now, when we talk about grief, one thing that has really helped me is journaling. Now, I know that this modality is not for everyone, and I want to just speak to that for a moment. Really, I see us being four different types of people, just like we have four different types of learners. We have the feelers, we have the thinkers, we have the doers, we have the seers. And for me, I'm a feeler. So writing comes naturally to me to express my emotions and my feelings onto paper. That seems like a natural next step for me. And maybe it is for you too. And expressing my feelings here on this podcast seems like a natural step for me. And perhaps it is for you too. Though perhaps it's not. Perhaps getting in tune with your emotions is a difficult task, and expressing them and putting words to them and sharing them with other individuals seems like an impossible task. then maybe you're a thinker and you need to talk about it. Maybe that's with your friends. Maybe that's on a podcast. Maybe that's with your husband or your wife. Perhaps it's with your dog. But you just need to talk it out. Like, you need to express those emotions. And when you talk about things, it helps you move forward with decisions, with difficulties, with barriers. Or perhaps you are what I call a doer. So someone that's working with their hands likes to move their body to process their emotions. And this might be building, if you're into woodworking, or it may be going through your loved one's things, items. It may be dancing. It may be performing. But it is things that help you process your emotions. It could be sports, that you need that to process how you feel and to help regulate your emotions and to help you process your grief. And if that's you, that's okay. Figure out which one you are so you know in which direction you need to go to help you begin to process your grief. Or perhaps you're what I call a seer. And these are people that need to see their grief being processed in real time. And what could that look like? That could look like drawing. It could look like painting. And if that's you, then I encourage you to incorporate those modalities into your life so that when it's not just grief, when you're experiencing significant big emotions that have life-altering impact, then I encourage you to reach out to the modality that speaks to you naturally. For me, this podcast is a healing experience for me, and I hope for you as well. When I write in my journals, it's like a little bit of healing comes from that each and every day. And in every moment, every time that I'm actively moving my pen across the page, it's like healing is entering my body. So take some time and reflect. Who are you? Are you a talker? Are you a feeler? Are you a doer? Are you a seer? And then intentionally put activities into your life that speaks to you as an individual so that you can release, so that you can release your grief, release the anger or the sadness or the depression or the anxiety that you're feeling. Because for me, every time I record an episode, I feel lighter. I feel a little healing came into my body in those moments. And I want the same for you every day. Please find me and reach out on any social media platform, Rachel Jennings Coudron, Rachel Coudron, and send me a message and tell me about your grief. Tell me about your journey, your process, because I believe together we heal. We're stronger together. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Step Into Your Sunshine, and I can't wait to speak to you next time.